Welcome into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do at VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to see you back again.
Good to see you, too. Good to be here.
Yeah, so topic today, what are we going to be discussing on today's broadcast?
Today's Q&A day, so if anybody has questions, y'all text them in. Did you just say the number?
I did not, but I'll put it out. 806-745-5800. If somebody has a question out there about your health or something going on, feel free to call or text that. You can do it at 806-745-5800. That's 806-544, I'm trying to get my cell phone number, 806-745-5800, sorry about that. Call my cell phone.
Well, we can do that too, right?
I'm so used to saying my cell phone, yeah. Sorry about that.
So I've had a few questions emailed and or just asked directly to me over the past couple of weeks about some of the last few shows we've had. So I know we're pushing the envelope a little bit, getting into some personal territory. You know, when I first started 10 years ago, before I get into this announcement, I forgot I was supposed to do announcements. 5:30 tonight up in Tulia, Texas at the Annex Extension Meeting Room, 310 West Broadway. I'll be speaking there. And the topic is vaccines, all vaccines. So y'all can come listen to that, 5:30, Annex Extension Meeting Room on West Broadway in Tulia.
Ooh, that'd be good.
That will not be live streamed either. However, much of what I'm going to be talking about, you can go find on the First Tuesday Talk on our website. It was from this past summer, Untouchable. I did a series of what I called the Untouchables, things we're not supposed to talk about. I think that was Untouchable number one, was about vaccines. So that's on our website, veritasmedical.com, under resources, video, library. There's some First Tuesday talks from a few years ago, I think 2017, but go to the current, the 2022-23 First Tuesday talks, and you'll see that Untouchable number one, vaccines, and much of what I'll talk about tonight, you can just watch there. And while you're there, you may as well look at Untouchable number two, statins and cholesterol. Untouchable number three, cancer. And I purposely did that series over the summer, these Untouchables, I called them, because they're such hot topics. They're so divisive, and people are in their camps on one side or the other. They think, you know, you're crazy, conspiracy, all this stuff. So I was trying to point out some data and some truth in those talks, just to help the mind, the intellectual mind that so many Westerners rely upon, and the intellectuals in academia and science, whatever that is. Back when I was growing up, science had questions. They didn't have answers. They were looking for answers, but everything was hypothesis and theory, and you tried to prove some stuff mostly by observation in nature, and you tried to reproduce some stuff, and it was just full of questions. But now apparently science has settled, and science is truth, and there are no questions. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. So theory, hypothesis, I'm not going to go into this, but those First Tuesday talks do. And the one of the big ones, and I'm going to mention this because another study. This is in JAMA. Let me get the date here. The original investigation was March 14th, 2022, not that long ago. The name of the study, Evaluating the Association Between Low-Density Lipoprotein Cholesterol Reduction, that's LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol. Guys, it's not bad. Why would your liver make something that's going to kill you? Your liver is making LDL every single minute. Every cell of your body needs it. Your hormones are made from cholesterol. Your brain's full of cholesterol. Your body needs it. Your liver's not making LDL that will kill you. However, you, especially if you're a standard American, are doing some things that will transform that LDL from large buoyant, is the scientific name, down to a small dense particle size. So LDL can be changed. LDL shifts under the influence of sugar, stress, processed grains, processed oils, sitting, smoking, lack of sunshine, all the things we talk about, when you put these large, buoyant, healthy LDL particles that are not associated with cardiovascular disease or death in general, you put them under a standard American diet and lifestyle, they will change themselves into small, dense LDL. So think of this large, buoyant, like a fluffy cotton ball that's nice and soft and fluffy and big and just rolls down your arteries, keeping the wall of your arteries clean and smooth. That's what God made for you to make. That's what your liver makes. That's what you're designed to make. It's beautiful. It's healthy. It's associated with longevity and health and a strong immune system and less cancer and all that. I mean, I had a lady recently, a new patient. Her main reason for coming, she was scared about her cholesterol numbers. She had no other symptoms. Her other blood work was beautiful. And the part she was so fearful about was her LDL was high and her total cholesterol was high. But all of her LDL was the big fluffy. No one had told her that. No one had shared this truth with her. Why not? Probably the same reason I never shared it with anybody for 7 years in post-Texas. I wasn't taught that truth. Anyways, the small dense LDL that is associated with some cardiovascular disease and mortality, but let me tell you about the association. Back to the study, March 14th, 2022, the name of the study evaluating the association between low-density lipoprotein cholesterol reduction and relative and absolute effects of statin therapy, a systematic review and meta-analysis. What that means is they went back and reviewed all the statin and LDL studies to see what are the effects on all-cause mortality, myocardial infarction, that's heart attack, or stroke. Here are the findings. In all these studies, and it was 21 different randomized clinical trials that they looked at over the past many, many years, and they summarized them. And here's the summary. The reduction in all-cause mortality from using a statin to reduce your LDL is 0.8%.
Wow.
Less than 1% reduction in all-cause mortality by taking a statin. And we'll talk about that little bit of reduction here in a second, what that's really from. It's not from lowering the LDL. And a 1.3% reduction in myocardial infarction, 0.4% reduction of stroke. So if you were to listen to these certain physicians and commercials and pharmaceutical companies, you would think these statins were like the absolute savior of mankind for less than 1% reduction on cause mortality. I mean, that's pretty low. And that's not even talking about, well, what does reducing that LDL with a statin do from a side effect profile? Because when you're blocking an enzyme, that's what a statin does. It blocks this particular enzyme for cholesterol production. What's the impact on diabetes, for instance? Well, you increase your risk of diabetes. You increase your risk of certain muscle disease and liver issues and dementia. This isn't the topic of the show. My point is, this is yet another study. And in my Cholesterol Untouchable number 2 talk I did first Tuesday, I go into a study from 2019, American Journal of Cardiology, a study from 2016, and all the way back to the original study that was fraudulent, Ansel Keys' study, where he eliminated 15 countries from his data set because they didn't fit his theory. Remember, theory, hypothesis, that's what medicine is based on. So we have to be real careful putting all our hope in any intellectual theory and hypothesis. And in me. Don't put your hope in me. I'm telling you, my hope, and the whole reason Veritas has had any beneficial impact on patients the last 10 years, is my theory is based on the body will fix itself. It's designed to fix itself. There is a design to it. We're not just evolved from a Darwinian evolutionary biology perspective to evolve from nothing into pond scum and pond scum into us, and we're just not highly evolved enough, and therefore we need to add all these different chemical things and DNA, RNA modifying things into the body to try to help our evolutionary process speed up a little bit. That's a mindset that really it appears that most of medicine and science is based on now, and that's not what I'm that's not the theory I'm using. Real quick, and then we got two questions, two more theories that I talked about in that first Tuesday talk. And one theory, this on depression and anxiety, that it's just a chemical imbalance. Now, I'm not saying there's not chemicals imbalanced in the brain, but that that's the cause? No. And the study that came out, and this was on the Untouchable number 3 cancer talk, but I started that talk, again, trying to open people's minds with this study on SSRIs. This was the UK. Researchers out of the UK studied all the data on SSRIs, which is your Zoloft, Lexapros, Prozac, all that kind of stuff. Quote, no clear evidence in their major review of all these studies on SSRIs, no clear evidence that low serotonin levels are responsible for depression. I mean, if that's true, that's like the whole field of psychiatry, basically, at least for the depression anxiety. In that same month, this was July 21st, 2022, this is on Alzheimer's, and it was revealed that the original paper published saying that Alzheimer's is rooted in these, the original paper had images, they took pictures, photos, microscopic photos of the brain of Alzheimer's patients, and it turned out that those photos were doctored. They were photoshopped. And the whole theory that Alzheimer's is this beta amyloid plaque deposition in the brain was based off this guy's paper, published, I think it was in Nature. And it came out this past summer, that whole thing was a fraud. So now we've got the cholesterol theory based on a fraud, the Alzheimer's theory based on a fraud, the serotonin, I'm not going to say, they didn't say it's based in fraud, but there's no evidence in all the systemic review they did that's the cause, serotonin levels being low. And again, and of course, vaccines, we talk about in the talk, 99% drop in infant mortality prior to vaccinations even coming in on the scene. A 99% drop in infant mortality, and the former dean at Harvard and many others came out and said it wasn't medical advances that had this dramatic turnaround in mortality in these kiddos. It was sanitation. Anyways, just keep our minds open to the fact that we don't know everything, including me. And the reason I'm so passionate about continuing to press forward in health and wellness is because I believe everyone should be well. And I believe, these patients that come in every day, they're in bondage. And Jesus came to set the captives free. All right. We had some questions?
Yes. The first one is, have you addressed the topic of osteoporosis? What options do women have other than pharmaceuticals?
That is a great topic, and we need to get, I can just talk about it, but it'd be great to have an author who's really done a deep dive. And there are a couple of books. I believe it's called The Calcium Myth or Calcium Deception, another one called The Calcium Lie. There's a great book called Your Bones. And that book, Your Bones, Liz Pizzorno, I think was the author's name, talks about all these strategies to keep bones healthy, because osteoporosis is, again, a modern disease, just as cardiovascular heart attacks are modern, cancer is modern, Alzheimer's is modern, autism's modern, all these 100 different autoimmune diseases, they're all modern diseases. Same with osteoporosis. And in some native tongues, languages, they don't even have a word for osteoporosis because it was non-existent. And in a nutshell, I'm going to say the same things that change your LDL from big, fluffy, healthy LDL down to small, dense LDL that could have some impact on you. I forgot to mention, let me regress or go back real quick. That 1.08% decline in mortality was from the anti-inflammatory effect of statins, it appears. There's a study that shows it's really the decrease in inflammation, inflamed cholesterol. The statins have a little bit of an anti-inflammatory effect, so there's a little bit of benefit, a 0.8% benefit. But same, so osteoporosis, inflammation, the same things that trigger your LDL to go from big, fluffy, healthy to small, dense, pro-inflammatory, the sitting, smoking, processed foods, stress, lack of sunshine, lack of movement, lack of weight-bearing exercise, that would be sitting all day. That triggers the process of pulling minerals out of the bone. leaching the calcium out of the bone. Also, the lack of K2. K2 is a vitamin that can be found in fermented foods, but also gut bacteria can make it. But if you've decimated your gut bacteria, as most standard Americans do, we don't nourish our microbiome, we kill it. The number one killer of your microbiome is a change in pH of your gastrointestinal tract. The number one cause of change of pH is stress. Fight or flight mode, your body says, let's conserve energy, shunt our energy from our GI tract to our muscles and our reflexes in our cardiovascular system so we can run away from this tiger or kill it. So it shuts down the acid pumps, the proton pumps. That changes the pH in the gut. That affects the microbiome. Of course, antibiotics, 80% of antibiotics made in America are put in the food. That shifts the microbiome. Stress, antibiotics in the food and by the pharmacist from the doctor's prescription pad. And, of course, chemicals in the food, processed preservatives, glyphosate kills your gut flora, glyphosate's in Roundup, it's in all the food. Chlorinated water, all the stuff. Mercury in your fillings, you swallow the mercury every time you swallow your saliva. I mean, I could go on and on about microbiome, but it's the good bacteria, certain species will really make a lot of K2. K2 tells your calcium to go to the bone and the teeth. Don't just, you know, get go anywhere like kidney stones, bone spurs, calcified carotid arteries and coronary arteries. You've got enough calcium in your body. If you have osteoporosis, the studies are pretty clear on that. It's just it's not in your bone. So why is it not? Well, part is because of the inflammatory process that goes on. Your body leaches those minerals out of the bone in response to this inflammatory process. One of those shows with Morley, we talk about osteoporosis. Real quick, just you got to understand the bones are constantly remodeling. So there's cells in the bone called osteoclast with a C and osteoblast with a B. The blast, osteoblast, build bone. Osteoclast with a C, chew it up. It's an amazing design because you want your bone to be young and fresh and healthy and strong. So old bone cells that are getting weak and brittle and old, you want to chew, you want to remodel those. You want to chew those up, recycle them, and build new bones. So it's beautiful. You're constantly chewing up the old brittle stuff, and then you're laying down new bone. It's an amazing process. But here's the but. The osteoblasts, the builders, and the osteoclasts, the ones that chew it up, they're affected by inflammatory processes, which, of course, with Morley and all he's taught on the mitochondria, copper, bioavailable copper, excess iron, free radicals, lack of antioxidant enzyme production because of lack of retinol, the vitamin A from animal fats, et cetera, go back and listen to all those. But I'll just summarize it. When there's inflammation in the body, the ability to keep the bone strong and healthy is impeded. And you'll be not able to lay down those minerals. Without enough magnesium, you're not able to lay down that calcium appropriately. So going back to our ancestors, you will not find osteoporosis. Or if you do, it's extremely rare. Like you'll find a tumor here and there in a mummy, but it's usually in the elite class. It'll be in a pharaoh or someone in the court of, you know, the elite ruling class that probably sat around more, probably consumed more delicacies. So I'm not saying it's not existing in the past, but when the founder of Hopkins, founder of modern medicine, Sir William Osler, says he saw zero heart attacks in his entire career, and he's the founder of Hopkins and modern medicine, it doesn't mean maybe there wasn't one or two in distant history, but there weren't many. Or Hopkins probably would have saw one or two, and he saw zero, and now it's killing more Americans than any other disease process. So just wrapping our minds around this fact, osteoporosis is new, all these things are new. But Liz Pizzorno's book, I'm sorry, this is a long-winded answer, goes into all the things that are more ancestral, like weight-bearing exercise, eat a low-inflammatory diet, get some sunshine, get the fermented foods in so you get your vitamin K in. If you want to supplement vitamin K, that's fine. We talk about the negatives of supplementing synthetic D. I would do cod liver oil instead. You need D and A in a 10-to-1 ratio, 10 being the A. So you need natural nutrients, not synthetic. And the weight-bearing exercise is one of the best things you can do. And proof of this would be there's a company. They're not here in Lubbock. If someone's an entrepreneurial mind, you might consider getting one here. I would definitely refer patients to you. I looked at doing it myself. It just was going to be too much for me. I have my plate full. Osteo Strong, I believe, is the name of that company. But it's just this intense weight load, weight-bearing exercise you do on a machine at stations. It's just like 30 seconds of extreme weight load. But, man, it stimulates those osteoblasts to build. And they've got data on reversal of osteoporosis. But not just that. Even young people doing it for muscle strengthening, we're talking elite athletes shaving time off their personal best. But Osteo Strong, they're all about putting weight on the bones. So weight-bearing exercise is big, and anti-inflammatory diet's big, and get your minerals. But I'll try to maybe find a more expert in that to go through that more deeply in the future. I'll try to get an author on the show.
All right, the next one we have is, what are the concerns with the HPV vaccine for young girls? All research online goes to Pfizer and the CDC.
Yeah, unfortunately, you really can't trust online searches unless you know real specifically how to get around those protective algorithms. There's a relationship between Google and the vaccine companies, as I think we're all learning over the past year or two or three. There's a relationship amongst all the institutions, it appears. And doctors don't even understand. I saw a meme or something, a photo online. It says doctors should wear on their white coats should wear these patches, kind of like NASCAR drivers have on their uniform or their cars and uniforms, all the patches of who their sponsors are.
Mm-hmm.
It would be all these drug companies, but the doctors don't realize that. I mean, I've been out of conventional medicine 10 years, but I can tell you back then I wasn't getting a direct kickback from Pfizer, but it's indirect. I didn't even realize it. I didn't realize the medical school funding was through that avenue. I didn't realize the research that now I sure do, because I've talked to a lot of these researchers. I mean, researchers' lifeblood is grants. They got to get grants. If they don't get grants, I mean, we had Exley on here, Christopher Exley. This guy's a 40-year veteran researcher specifically on aluminum. Aluminium, as he calls it, from the UK. I mean, he's the world's authority. If you had a question on aluminum, you go to Exley. You look up his thousands of research papers. His team was like A++, cream of the crop, top-notch. No one ever questioned their research, because that's what researchers do. They publish their stuff, then they wait for a critique. You know, initially, the review board of the journal is going to critique it, and if it doesn't meet muster, it doesn't even get published. Well, they'd get published, but then even then, it's out to the world. All your peers look at it, review it, read it, and they can send letters to the editor, or they can send letters directly to you. I mean, he talked about on that show how no one ever questioned his work, and he wasn't saying it's because he was so smart. He was just saying, look, we have a standard and methods that we employ in our research that are high quality, and I mean, we just produce this data. And soon as the data started pointing to aluminum connection with autism and Alzheimer's, immediately the funding dried up. And you trace that back of where that funding was coming from. Much, if not all, was through the Bill and Melinda Gates associated foundations. So we got to be super careful. I know that I'm not even answering the question, but my part of that question on Googling Pfizer and HPV, no, you're not going to find it. So I think on that first Tuesday talk I did on vaccines, I give some resources and books to consider. Paul Thomas, he has a book, The Vaccine Friendly Plan. He was a pediatrician up in Oregon. His license got yanked through COVID because he produced a study that showed his unvaccinated kids were much healthier than his vaccinated kids. I go through that study. But he has information on HPV. And Children's Health Defense Fund is probably going to be your best source. That's Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s organization. Just look up Children's Health Defense Fund, I think, .org, and then type in HPV, and he'll have multiple articles with the references there. But prior to COVID, I believe HPV was the most deadly or highest side effect profile of any of the vaccines. And I need to go look this up, but I think They'll have it on Children's Health Defense Fund. I think aluminum, it was the highest aluminum content of any vaccine. Lots of neurological side effects from that. Of course, death is possible too. Now, on the other side, people will say, well, you know, those are so rare. And it's preventing cervical cancer deaths. That's what we were told. I'm open to looking at any data someone could send me that shows that HPV vaccine has decreased cervical cancer deaths. I think what you're going to find is about the time that shot got rolled out, you'll see a tremendous increase in certain types of cervical cancer. This is such a hot button topic because fear is behind it all. If I don't get these shots, then I'm afraid I'll get cervical cancer or meningitis or measles or chickenpox or whatever, influenza. I'm telling you guys, go watch the first Tuesday talk because it all goes back to this theory of are we just evolving and we're not highly evolved enough and therefore we can't battle these germs? Or are we beautifully designed and it's a lack of stewardship that prevents your immune system from doing what it's supposed to do? I'm just going to tell you right now, you put a chopped up virus into your muscle, into your deltoid muscle, that's a completely different immune response over there than it is in what's on your mucosa. Mucosa is your skin. And you have skin on the inside, your gums, that's a type of mucosa or epithelium. All the way down, your GI tract, that whole lining, all your intestines down to your rectum to the toilet, that's lined with skin, a type of skin. Same with your respiratory tract. And your skin, God put special troops stationed on your skin, inside your skin. And those troops have a whole different response to that virus. The HPV virus and every other virus, COVID, flu, herpes, all of them. You have a special defense system lining all these epithelial cells, these skin cells, your barriers. That's the outside world that God put these troops up against. And you go straight into the deltoid and you bypass that first line and you go straight to your second line, your memory cells to produce those antibodies. It is not giving you the immune response that you think it's giving you. And I go into that in that talk. So, these unintended consequences when man decides to do things his way, instead of, let's just steward the amazing design that's already there, we're going to run into trouble. And before the break, I'm going to leave it with this. Then we'll come back and do more questions. Another study. Why do I always go to these studies? Because I was trained in biology and intellectual. I mean, we all were. Memorize all these facts and stuff. We weren't trained in more Eastern thinking and in the, outside the natural, the spirit realm, and it's actually why we're in a lot of trouble. But another study came out, and it's basically the exact same data. Let me find this. So every few years, the world's health outcomes, all the countries in the world, their health outcomes are looked. They look at them, they rank them healthiest to least healthiest, and I know y'all already know the answer, but just in case you were wondering, you can find this commonwealthfund.org. This was January 31st, 2023, a couple weeks ago. The name of the article, U.S. Healthcare from a Global Perspective, 2022. So they summarize the 2022 healthcare data. The rest of that title of this article, U.S. Healthcare from a Global Perspective, 2022, : Accelerating Spending, Worsening Outcomes. We were already the worst in outcomes and the best in spending the money. Both those have accelerated. And the two I always point to, because so many people forget about this, because we don't think. I mean, we think about maybe our old folks, all these diseases and cancer and Alzheimer's and stroke and heart attack. And that happens to old people. What about our moms, our 20 and 30-year-old mamas who should be in the prime of their life and healthy? U.S. has highest rates of infant and maternal deaths with lowest life expectancy. while spending more on medical care than any other affluent country. If you could see these graphs on maternal death and infant death, it's shocking. I mean, especially this maternal mortality. I mean, it's double the second place. New Zealand's at 13.6 per 100,000 live births. There's 13.6 mamas in New Zealand that die. The U.S., 23.8. We're in first place by far. And Canada's 8, France is 7, Switzerland 7, Sweden 7, UK 6.5, which, by the way, they use way more, a lot more midwives. In fact, I think last time I looked, they made you use a midwife if you're an uncomplicated mama, uncomplicated pregnancy. Norway 3.7, Germany 3.6, Japan 2.7, Austria 2.0, Netherlands 1.2. deaths in mama per 100,000 live births. I mean, we're blowing it out of the water, 23.8. Same on infants. We, by far and away, lead the world in infant mortality. And then life expectancy, it's not even close. This is longevity, life expectancy, birth until you die. All the lines of all the other countries are kind of all intermingled, bunched up together. You have to really study and pick out the colors to see which country is different from the other countries. They're all right there close. The U.S. don't even touch those others. It is so far below all these other industrialized countries. And diving negatively, where the others are at least kind of flatlined-ish, mostly, the sharp negative for 2020-2021. It's just unbelievable. And then, of course, the amount of money is just up, 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 especially compared to the other countries. So we're getting the worst outcomes still. Spending the most money still. Both of these are accelerating. I just told you the theory of the number one killer, heart disease, was based in fraud. We didn't really get into cancer. Go watch that first Tuesday talk. We think we have the healthiest babies. We don't. We give the most vaccines. Does that equal health? What's all-cause mortality, vaccinated versus unvaccinated? What's all-cause morbidity? That means sickness in vaccinated versus unvaccinated. We've got to start realizing that we're the sickest country, spending the most money. These theories we've based our whole medical standard of care on over the past 100 years, pharmaceutical-based symptom management, it's not working. That's why I sit here every week and continue to preach. Guys, get a curious mind and keep searching and looking. And ultimately, and that's what we'll talk about when we get back from the break. Why have I been talking about spiritual stuff and your thinking over the past few weeks and bringing these testimonies in? Because I'm going to keep searching and pressing and looking and asking. A curious mind wants people. I want people to be well. That's not a cliche. That's not me or a motto or whatever catchy of I want Veritas Medical to not have to even exist anymore. That would mean people are well and healthy and don't need a doctor. That'd be awesome. I mean, that's what I would love to see. That's my true passion. So that's why we're here with the curious mind, always pressing more and more and more into why aren't we well. So when we get back from the break, we will answer more questions. And if there aren't any, I'm going to summarize a little bit of some questions that I got at the clinic last week over all these things. So y'all stick with us. The shows are archived on veritasmedical.com under podcasts, and all those videos I'm referencing, they're under the resource page too, under the video library. So veritasmedical.com. I'll be in Tulia tonight at 5:30 at the Annex building. Y'all stick with us. We'll be right back. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the cure.
Welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do at VeritasMedical.com. Check it out today. Phone line, text line, always open and available in the second segment of our program this morning. If you have a medical question along the way, 806-745-5800. That's 806-745-5800. We're taking all texts this morning, 806-745-5800. Dr. Edwards.
All right, guys, I'll be in Tulia tonight, 5:30 at the Annex building, talking vaccines. Why is that so divisive? I mean, obviously, I would think, obviously, all doctors and all people would want to do the best thing for kids and for themselves. If there's a medical procedure that has more benefit than risk, then probably we'd all kind of considered at least. And if it had more risk than benefit, then we'd probably all say no. So why such division? Well, I can tell you just from my own personal experience, it was lack of knowledge. And I'm going to go through that tonight. What I learned in medical school about vaccines was it's going to be on one slide. And that slide is a picture of the CDC schedule. And what I learned was this schedule is what keeps people healthy, saves lives. It's what decreased all the infant mortality. And memorize it and implement it in your clinic. And that was about it. That's all I remember anyways. Well, if I had all the knowledge, if I was fully informed, you know, you could read a book, Turtles All the Way Down is the name of the book. It's pretty new. Those authors have put $1,000 prize to every single thing, anything you can find in that book, every error that you find, every mistake or error that you find in that book, they'll pay you $1,000 for it. Kind of reminds me of Steve Kirsch's bet. He's got $1 million on the line right now. Anybody that can prove the vaccines have saved more lives than they've killed, like COVID in particular, he's got $1 million on the line. But why does it have to get to that? Why is it so divisive? Well, lack of knowledge. Anyways, announcements. I forgot to mention. February 21st, Taco Tuesday. That's at the Merck. From 5:30 to 7 p.m. February 22nd, sourdough bread class. That'd be from 1 to 3 p.m. That's upstairs at the Merck, next to Veritas Medical. That's our education building and our store. So y'all go there and check that out. That Taco Tuesday will be a combo of Canyon Valley Provisions and Trotter Farm. I think I've had both of them on the show before, talking about their beef and the chicken and showing you how to cook. I don't know what they're making those tacos of, but I know Jessica's made tacos out of tongue before. Maybe she shouldn't say that. She was going to surprise people. I think you love tacos. But, I mean, that's some of the best meat there is. All right. So some of the questions I got, I don't have a ton of time, but I might have to do this on another show. But real quick. I think I can address some of these in really sharing my story, my testimony, my journey. And I've been asked this too, where can I go to hear your testimony, your journey, how you got into all this? We've had so many new people coming. I mean, we had a couple come from three states away in the Midwest, came down to see us simply because we have an open mind about the COVID shot, and none of their doctors up there do. I had another lady move down from Michigan for that same reason. I had a couple come from Maryland. Their doctors are Hopkins doctors, but they could not get them to quit pushing the shot, even with all the data out now. Anyways, how did I land here? How did I get here? So real quick, make this fast. I was born and raised very traditional conservative at First Baptist Church, Belton, Texas. Both my granddads were involved in the church, deacons and song leaders in the choir. My parents, too, grew up doing that traditional, standard, normal American upbringing. Good, solid family, pillars in the community, all A's till 8th grade shop class. I was trying to keep up with my older brother. He made all A's all the way through college. Engineer, finished a 5-year degree program in 4 years, super brainy. I was number 2. I was trying to keep up with him. And I was until a shop class in 8th grade. He had to make these little cars that roll down a ramp. And my car just veered off to the right and hit the wall right off the ramp. So I got a B. I was devastated. But that's actually kind of a relief. The pressure was off. I can make a B and I'm still going to live. I'm still be loved. Anyways, I always had this notion I wanted to help people as far as when I got into college, like pick a major. I changed my major 5 or 6 times. Always had it in my thought I probably should be a doctor because they really help people. And that's really what I want to do. But I knew doctors, you know, number one, didn't know if I was smart enough to get into med school and then the debt and how many years in school and all this. I just, you know, that part I didn't like. But selling cars, working on computers, I wasn't techie, you know, I just couldn't find anything else. Thought about law school, went and shadowed my uncle, who's a lawyer in San Angelo, or was, retired now. He had to defend this young kid on drug charges, and the kid was guilty, but he had to defend him because the family hired him, and, you know, got to defend your client, and got him off on a technicality. I felt like, I was thinking, man, that kid, anyways, that kind of turned me off. I can't do that. Can't defend a kid who's guilty and get him off on a technicality. anyways, I was praying one day, and the Lord just said, you're supposed to go to med school, quit running from it. So got into school, UT Houston, and wanted to go be a small-town doctor like my granddad's, because that's what I grew up watching. They could do everything. They could do surgery. They could deliver babies, house calls. They could do it all. They were the doctor, and I just was attracted to that. They both told me if I was going to go to a small town to do medicine, I better get my psychology books out and my counseling books out, because mostly what people needed was someone to listen to them. And boy, were they right. So went to Waco for residency, because Waco taught family practice doctors how to do all that, set broken bones, do colonoscopies, and deliver babies, because there were no other specialist residencies in Waco. Family practice residency were the only trainees there were the FPs, so we got to do it all. Went to Post, Garza County Health Clinic. They'd been struggling to make money for a while. Just, you know, small town country clinics kind of struggle. You have a lot of Medicare, Medicaid. They don't pay well, so I mean, it's hard to keep those doors open without taxpayer coming in and subsidizing that. So we moved into that situation, which was my dream. Not God's plan for me, but my plan, my dream. Moved into that, and it was great. Had a lot of support from the community. Did really well there from the world standards. How you measure doing well in the medical field is you keep the doors open and you make money. And that's what we did. So we started making money for the clinic, and that was great. I'm not against making money. But it was all volume-based. You got to see a patient every 7 minutes. All you can do in 7 minutes is treat a symptom. I didn't realize that then. I had no clue, and most of your doctors don't have a clue, that treating high blood sugar, we call it diabetes, that's treating a symptom. High blood sugar is a symptom. Insulin resistance is a cause, but what causes that, there's a deeper cause there. You can always drill down. What causes reflux? What causes hypertension? Asthma. I mean, we were just taught to manage. If someone has asthma, it means their airway's inflamed. What's that mean? It's swollen. So imagine a little pipe or a straw, and the wall swells. Well, you're going to have less air movement through that swollen tube, especially if you put some mucus in there. So what do we do for asthma? We're trained in medical school. You give albuterol. What's that do? It relaxes the muscles of that straw, of that bronchial tube. So if you have relaxed muscles, the airway can open up a little bit more. You move good air, the wheezing goes away. Well, that's great. And then you do some steroid, inhaled steroid. What's that do? It cuts inflammation down. Steroids knock the immune response down. Immune system, quit fighting. Quit sending all the inflammation, all the fluid and mucus and all that. And that's how we treated asthma. That's all obviously treating a symptom. So if people stay on their inhaler, their airway stays open, because you're suppressing the swelling and the constriction. Take those inhalers away, and what happens? Here comes the swelling and the constriction. Take your Nexium away. What happens? Here comes the acid right back up your esophagus. Take your high blood pressure pill away. What happens? Your blood pressure goes right back up. I mean, take your gout medicine away. What happens? Your gout flare starts coming back on you. I did not understand that all those were symptoms, that there's a root cause to it. So after 7 years of treating symptoms, a divine appointment, my nurse practice. Well, let me back up. About 2 years into my practice in Post, on a personal note, my wife and I were trying to get pregnant with our second. We got pregnant the first month with our first child, got off birth control, got pregnant the first month, no problem, got back on birth control, because our plan was every, you know, couple years we're going to have a kid. We wanted 4 or 6 kids. My wife told me she wanted 6, and I didn't really remember that, apparently. But anyways, I thought we were going to have 4 kids. We were going to have them on this timeline every 2 years, perfect little family, raised in a perfect little small town in the little clinic. I'm the country doctor, blah, blah, blah. So it was time to have baby number 2. We got off birth control. Nothing happened. We didn't get pregnant. Oh, no big deal. Second month, didn't get pregnant. No big deal. It's not a big deal. Third month, fourth month, 6 months, no pregnancy. Now we're starting to panic a little bit. Every month it's a roller coaster, up and down. Are we pregnant? Nope, started our cycle. What about next month? Nope, started our cycle. 12 months in, now we're really on that emotional roller coaster, and 12 months is the official definition of infertile, so now we're infertile by doctor terms. So we go to the infertility doctor. Dr. Fai is awesome, amazing, super sweet. She helped us. She did a great job for us. Everything looked great. Everything was perfect. Hormones, sperm, everything's good. But nothing. Not pregnant, not pregnant, not pregnant. We're good 12 months into that. And so we're talking 2 years now, and I was reading in the Bible, which I still had a lot of doubt and unbelief about the Bible even being true, because I was trained and schooled in unbelief, as most of us are, actually. But me, big time, especially in the science realm, Darwin, anyways. even with that unbelief in me, I came across that verse, seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you, and it hit me. The first part of that verse hit me, not the second part, because you would think, oh, then all these things will be given unto you, that means a baby, and so if you'll just, you know, pray that prayer, then you'll get a baby. No. The first part of the verse hit me, seek ye first the kingdom. And obviously, Jamie and I both were seeking right at that moment was a baby. And every single month, that was all we were thinking for 2 years. And right under that was the whole small town country doctor and raise your family in a small town and I'll do the Friday night football game team doctor and all this stuff, all the house calls, all that. Man, it just hit me. That verse hit me. It resonated in my spirit. Man, for some reason that day, I'd read it many times before. But it hit me different that day. And I went and got Jamie. Said, look at that right there. We are not doing that. And I laid it out. She did too. Right there in that moment, we just started talking to God. Saying, man, we're sorry. This verse says clearly, seek ye first the kingdom. And we both at that time said, I don't know what the kingdom even means or what it is. Because no one had trained me in that. They'd be trained me in salvation, gospel, not kingdom. Anyways, we laid it down in our hearts, and we were content with one child. If that was God's plan, His ways greater than my ways, and His thoughts bigger and greater than my thoughts, His plan. We just submitted to it. We laid it down, and that part of our life, we laid it down and truly started seeking Him. So that was it. That's where it all started. That was around 2007. Immediately, then we quit going to the fertility doctor. By the way, got pregnant the next month, and then we had 6 kids in total. But that opened the door for me the next 4 to 5 years, scientist after scientist after scientist. I'm talking high-level PhD, nanoscientist, former astrophysicist at these big universities in different places just came into my life, started showing me how Darwin was a complete, that was a theory, and even Darwin himself said, my theory is going to be dead in the water if these two things come to pass. And he named those two things. And I went and saw, whoa, those two things have come to pass. His theory's dead. Wow, that's interesting. But then beyond that, they just showed more and more and more, basically proved out Genesis, proved out the Bible. And from archaeologically to mathematical probability to language to extra-biblical sources it confirmed to J. Warner Wallace and his cold case detective skills that he applied to the Gospels to Lee Strobel and his investigative journalistic skills he applied to the Gospels. My 10-part series, Why I Believe, I go in more depth into all that, so go listen to that. But once I got 4 to 5 years of that in me, dealing with my doubt and unbelief, then it was like, all right, this book is true, and I can really dive into it. So I started to. And right at that, about the same time as when God sent us on a medical mission trip, I'd been asked to go on this many times before. It never worked out. I've only been on that one, haven't been on another one since. Not that I'm against it, love to, but just the timing. But that time when I was asked, it was, yep, go. Take Jamie and take Kate. Our oldest at the time was about 7, 8 years old. And Jamie was pregnant at the time, 7 months pregnant. It sounded crazy. Her parents, everybody, the world thought we were crazy for taking her. But right before we went on that trip, my sister sent me an email, said, hey, check this book out I'm reading by David Platt called Radical. And I kind of made a mental note of that, hit delete, and just went on to my next email. The very next day, I get an email from ChristianAudiobooks.com. Their special of the month, Radical, David Platt. I thought, wow, what a coincidence. That's weird. And so then like 2 days later, I got to go to Africa. Went there, spent 10 days, amazing trip. I mean, just incredible, the things we saw there. But on the last day, they sent us on a safari, R&R, for rest and relaxation. And that was a 5-hour bumpy bus ride to the border from between Malawi and Zambia. We had to cross the border to get into Zambia where the safari was at in this national park. So I get off the bus, go through the border patrol checkpoint, which this was a chain link fence. It was only like 30 yards long, and then there's no more fence at the end of the fences. It's a dirt road, this little chain link fence and a gate and a guy with a machine gun. You walk through there, show them your passport, and get on to the other side, and there's a bus waiting for us. It was an empty bus, and I'm the first one on. I'm walking back to the back of the bus, and something catches my eye. In the seat on that bus is that book, Radical, by David Platt. And I thought, oh, man, that's weird. Maybe I'm supposed to read that book. got home, read the book, or no, started right there. Started reading the book. You know, I looked all over for an owner, another white guy, another English-speaking person, nothing. There was nobody around. It's crazy. In David Platt's book, he really goes into the American church and the difference between that and some of these, what is the church and what have we done with the word church, and just something about church. And then combining that with what church was in Africa, just opened my eyes, started having me question what's the word church even mean. Started doing a study on that. The word ecclesia is the Greek word, and what does that mean? The called out ones. That's a whole other topic. Don't have time to go into, but that just opened my eyes to, there's some stuff. When Jesus said the word church, ecclesia, called out once a congregation, his body, that just had a whole different meaning than what I grew up thinking of church. And so the institutional thing started coming into my mind of, man, there's institutions. Constantine, I think it was 313 or 323, Constantine got with the church leaders and said, hey, we'll make you the official state church. We'll give you protection and provision. And let's just, get together on this thing. And religion was formed. Mark 7:13, I think it is. Doctrines of man make the word of God to none effect. The doctrines of man, religious bylaws and doctrines, and here's what man thinks about stuff. But man got his hand on the word of God, I believe, at that point. Anyways, back to the story, just started really asking God, what is this? What's church? What's the kingdom? Because my original thing that got me into this is seek you first the kingdom. And then I met a guy who told me, what gospel did Jesus preach? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, go look it up in the Bible tonight. Went and looked it up. Jesus and Paul, what gospel did they preach? It's clear. The gospel of the kingdom. So I went back and I said, hey, it's the gospel of the kingdom. And he said, okay, what's that? And I said, Jesus died on the... Adam and Eve were created to rule the earth, and they've sinned and brought in sin and death and sickness and dying. So Jesus had to come, God's Son, to die on the cross, save us so we could be in heaven forever. And he was like, nope. That's the gospel of salvation. Man, I was schooled in that big time in church growing up. Go get saved, get saved, get saved. Jesus died on the cross for you. Believe it, trust it, get baptized, and then go knock on doors. Go spread that message. Tell everybody how Jesus died for them so they can be in heaven forever, man. Just get after it. Now, I mean, that's what I was raised under, gospel of salvation. Now, that's true. I'm not saying that part's not true. Jesus hanging on the cross, there was a purpose in that. No doubt about it. Had an eternal consequence to that. But probably I should have also been taught and emphasized the other part that Jesus raised. Jesus being raised from the dead has an eternal consequence too. And thirdly, Jesus ascending to heaven saying, I gotta go, guys. I'm out of here. And I have to go so the Holy Spirit can come live in you. I mean, he equipped us with that Holy Spirit. So, I mean, those are three big things. Died, rose, and equipped. I only got taught the died part. Anyways, started seeking that kingdom of gospel, the kingdom, and couldn't find it in an institutional church. And I'm not saying it's not out there. I couldn't find it. I went to everywhere. I know the Baptist doctrine is real good, but we went to Methodist church, went to Church of Christ, went to Presbyterian. I've been to all of them. Episcopal. I've been to a Catholic service. I've been to full gospel African American church. I've been to all the non-denominationals. I went to Joel Osteen's church one time down in Houston, that big one. I'm telling you guys, I was seeking. And I picked up truth in every one of those. I was just telling someone the other day, I had a Latter-day Saint in medical school invite me to his apartment. He wanted to really... visit with me and Jamie, and fed us fish tacos. First time I ever had fish tacos, because his two-year mission was down in the Caribbean and learned how to make fish tacos. And I mean, he was a great guy, super guy. He asked me to play on his basketball team in his church, and I went and played just because he's a neat guy. Now, he gave me his book, his religious book, and I read it and determined that it didn't resonate. But what I'm saying was I wasn't afraid to just talk with people and explore and seek. So that's, what I just kept doing. And institutional religion, institutional schooling, institutional medicine, all of it. It became clear. These institutions, the Holy Spirit can't reside in an institution. And that's why it's corruptible. But, I mean, even man's corruptible. But if you're truly born again, you're a new creation. Incorruptible. and we're out of time, and I'm not even halfway through, so maybe next week I'll finish, because it's important, guys. The correlation between when I started learning in the physical, hey, this started with one guy whose celiac disease went into remission, cured, whatever word you want to use, I don't care, but he could eat wheat and it didn't affect him, whereas before it made him real sick. It took one man who got well that made me think, is this just one man that this worked on? Or could the next patient I have with celiac, could it work on him too? And what if the answer was yes? To me, that was worth it. That was worth it to risk it all, because I want people well. I went to school to try to help people get well, and this guy got well doing something I wasn't taught in school. So was it a one-off? Was it just this, you know, weird, crazy, anecdotal, you can't listen to it? No, I had to listen to it. So then I asked myself, well, what if only 50% of the people get better with doing what this one man did? Well, what if it's only 20%? At what level do you say, it's not worth pursuing? Those are the kind of questions I had, and that's why I pursued it. And I kept pursuing, even though I hadn't seen healing before. I hadn't seen people reverse diabetes or lupus or rheumatoid arthritis. And my schooling didn't teach me that. But there was something in me, and it was my spirit man. And so we'll talk about that more maybe next week. We'll go deeper into this, because it's ultimately going to answer these questions that were asked to me this past week about why did I talk to Andrew Womack on the show, and why did I have these testimonials come on the show who talked about identity and spiritual stuff. And it's important. So we'll maybe finish this next week. I know we got to go. So we'll see y'all next week. Thanks for joining us this week. And the shows are archived at veritasmedical.com under the resource page. Thank y'all. We'll see you next week. Send your questions also next week. Thanks, Wade.
You bet. And, of course, you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out Veritas Medical for archived shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com.